The following audio is from Sand Hills Community Church. More information about Sand Hills Community Church is available at www.sandhillschurch.org.
Amen. Good morning. Would you stand with me and we want to pray? This weekend is Memorial Day and we honor all those who have served us, who have died for our country. These men and women are great examples of service and sacrifice. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for those that have gone before us, for their love, their sacrifice. And we take a moment to pause and say, we are grateful and thank you. We thank you for those that are currently serving our country. We thank you, even though this is not Veterans Day, we thank you for the veterans that are alive. And for those who have gone before us, we say thanks. Lord, you have modeled that sacrificial love to us. You have been an example to us, Jesus. So we take a moment to pause and say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, would you take 4 seconds and say hi to your person to your right or to your left? All right. You may be seated. Have you ever heard the phrase, imitation is the highest form of flattery? You ever heard that statement? I have worked with teenagers for most of my life, and they have what I call built-in fake detectors, F-A-K-E, fake detectors. In other words, they smell on us adults whether we're walking the walk and talking the talk. And in 1 Corinthians 11, we have been there for like, I don't know, 12 years or something studying this book, and hopefully we'll be done soon. And in 1 Corinthians 11 that we're going to work off today, I'm going to take just one verse, and then going to shoot off of that. And if you are new to the faith, or you're a young person in the faith, or new as far as in kind of learning what this Christian life is about, what I'm going to share with you today could be a game changer for you. This could be a trajectory of movement for you in your faith. And what I'm going to say to the veterans is not new. This will be more of a refresher course for them. But this became a real game changer for me when I was 20 years old. And I am indebted to my professor, Dr. Robert Coleman from Asbury Seminary, who wrote a book called The Master Plan of Evangelism that rocked our world. And when I say our world, it like rocked the Christian world because it kind of brought us back to some things about what Jesus did for us. And so I want to walk you through that this morning. And so 1 Corinthians 11:1 says this. I think we have this on the screen. And we're going to actually read this together because it's that short and I don't think we're going to mess it up. Okay, you guys ready? Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. All right, let's do that one more time. Ready? Let's do it 3 times because they say if you do something 3 times, you remember it. Ready? Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Ready? That's number 2. Here's number 3. Ready? Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And so the question is, this guy named Paul who wrote this book, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and wrote a lot of books in the New Testament, how can he say, imitate me as I imitate Christ, or follow me as I follow the example of Christ? Because what we know about this guy named Paul, just for a little brief history here, he's originally called Saul of Tarsus. He's from Tarsus, which was a very intellectual group of people, very philosophical. They were great learners. He was known as Saul of Tarsus, and he was educated as a Jewish kid, and he knew the Bible quite well. I mean, like really well. Like he could quote major portions of it. Some people say he knew the whole old entire Testament. He could quote it. And everybody said, whoa. So this guy named Saul of Tarsus eventually would become what we call the Apostle Paul. And he had an encounter with this resurrected, risen Jesus on the road to Damascus. And that's talked about in 1 Corinthians 15. It's also talked about in Acts chapter 9. So what we know about this guy, Saul of Tarsus, or Paul, is that He did not probably, to our knowledge, he probably never quite met Jesus during Jesus' ministry. Maybe he knew about Jesus. He probably did, because he ends up becoming an enemy of the church and a persecutor of the church. Well, on this Damascus road, he has an encounter with the risen Christ. And immediately afterwards, instead of having the typical, what happened to you after you came to Christ, is I had love, joy, peace. He actually would say, if he gave a testimony in church, he'd say, I became blind. I mean, I literally became blind. And the Bible says for 3 days he was blind. And then what we know is he actually ended up going to Arabia for 3 years. And I think that if you were to ask me today, or we were to ask Paul today, tell us what you know about Jesus, he would say, the pivotal moment for me where I started to learn about who this Jesus was when I went to spend 15 days with one of the original disciples. And his name is Peter. So in Galatians chapter 1:18, it says this. He says, so I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. Now, if we could just play with our imagination for a moment. Here you are, the Apostle Paul, and you are a persecutor of the church. You don't like Jesus people. You don't like this Jesus movement. And now you are a, quote, Jew for Jesus, okay? You are now have come to this encounter with Jesus. And so he goes and he spends 15 days with Peter. Now, if we could just kind of play it off for a minute, imagine, you know, Peter saying to Paul, hey, dude, people are scared of you because you're a murderer and you're persecuting the church. I need to tell you about Jesus for like the 3 years I spent with Jesus. And Paul's like, well, I got about a week. No. I need like 15 days. Okay, I need like 15 days to tell you everything about what happened to me in 3.5 years. Paul's like, okay, I'll hang out with you for that time. Tell me about this Jesus. And so I imagine he starts sharing with him everything he knows about Jesus, his time with Jesus. We fished together. We hung out together. We saw him do miracles. We saw him raise people from the dead. This dude is incredible. But I have a feeling where Peter and Paul landed was something quite different. It wasn't just about the miracles, and it wasn't just about the healings. It was about how Jesus lived his life. Because we know this. We all learn from people who walk things, not just talk things, right? We learn from people who are examples, who don't just talk it and fake it. We learn from people who actually live it. So I think Peter was saying to Paul, let me tell you the primary thing I want to tell you about for the next 5 days. I want to tell you about what Jesus did with us 12, the original. Because what Jesus did with the original 12, he wants you, Paul, to do with people in your life. And then when you do your book writing or whatever you're going to do, you're probably going to write a bunch of books, Paul. Okay? I just have that feeling. You're probably a good writer. You're going to write all these books and all these letters. And I have a feeling that you're going to tell people to do something, and they're going to start doing what Jesus did to us. And Paul's like, whoa, what did Jesus do with you? And Peter's like, he spent 3.5 years shaping us, influencing us, molding us. And listen, Paul, you've got to do the same thing. So where we are today is, what is this example that I'm talking about? What did Peter probably share with Paul that's for us today? And that missing ingredient today, we will call discipleship. There's your first fill in the blank. Just if you got a little sermon outline, sermon outlines are great because you get the back page, you know when I'm getting done, okay? You know what I'm saying? Okay, so your first fill in the blank is this. What I think Jesus did with the disciples and what Peter is going to share with Paul. If you're new to the faith, I'm throwing a lot of people around here. But the original Peter, hung out with Jesus for 12 years, he got to smell life from Jesus. He understood what it meant to forgive, what it meant to love. And so he was going to model this. Now, the scripture says this. Jesus appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out. So Jesus' strategy with this original 12 was to be with them. He was going to do life with them. Later on, Jesus' very, very final words before he ascended to heaven, I believe Peter talked about with Paul. And it's these words. And by the way, one of my first ever pastors said this to me. He said, David, if you ever do a funeral, and if you're ever around the person before they pass away, lean in closely to their final words, because their final words are usually very profound. These were Jesus' final words before he ascended to heaven. And he said this, go, therefore, and help me out with, and make disciples of all nations. Now here's the key word, make disciples. That's what Jesus did with the 12 for 3.5 years. He was shaping them. He was influencing them. He was molding them. He was disciple-making them. He was making them into disciples. He was making them into little Jesuses, okay? Little Christ. He spent time with them, that later he would send them out. And then later on, Jesus says his closing words before he ascended to heaven, go make disciples. Remember these words. The last words a person says are usually very, very important, very strategic. All right, so Jesus is setting up a model for us today. Jesus was setting up a model for Peter. He was also setting up a model for Paul. And that model is called discipleship. It's the missing ingredient in the American church today. We like teaching, we like preaching, we like our music, we like our videos. But discipleship has gotten lost in the sauce. Okay? And so what does this stuff look like? Well, we need to understand it's an up and close personal relationship. An actor named John Cusack, who I really like, he said recently in an interview, he goes, I make people have coffee with me. I don't trust that a friendship can be maintained without any other senses beside a computer or a cell phone screen. In other words, if we're going to do life with people, it can't just be over internet. It can't just be over social media. It's got to be up close and personal. And that's why we do small groups here. And that's why we believe on one-on-ones here. Because to live the example of a godly, filled, Christ-like, we need to avoid isolationism. And we need to take some initiative. Now, you cannot do the Christian life if you're a young person in the faith, or you're new to the faith, or you're just starting your journey. You cannot isolate yourself from the other people around you. In fact, New Testament Christianity is about doing life with other people. Now, I know that's frightening for some of you. I know that's frightening for some of those that would claim I'm a radical introvert. But please understand, you only need one or two. You don't need like 100 people. You just need a couple. So it's just live this exciting Christian life that God has wired for us. Some of us have settled for, we'll just like sermons and music. We just have a little bit, just enough to make us dangerous on Sunday morning. But what we really need, if you want to experience the fullness that God had intended for all of us, and I caught this when I was 20, and I'm grateful. God has shown us a model for us. Because American Christianity has become way too individualistic. It's become way too much. Me and Jesus, we pray. Me and Jesus, we read our Bible. Me and Jesus, we go have coffee together. And that's all good. Don't get me wrong. You and Jesus is good. But I think Jesus wants you to have some voices at the table besides just you and Jesus. So what does that look like? Well, let me give you the what to do. And then I'm going to give you the why to do it, okay? So you guys ready to write some things down? Here you go. What to do? Let's get really practical. If you're going to embrace this New Testament model to be an example as Christ was our example, the first thing I'm asking you to do is to pray for an older mentor. To pray for an older mentor. Jesus and Paul's model of ministry should be our method of ministry. Joe Bishman was that first one for me at Ohio University. He was my pastor who became my friend. He started to pour into me. He saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. He saw me as a potential pastor, a potential communicator. And so he spent time with me. When I ended up going to Asbury Seminary, I found an older guy named Gene Wilkins, who was married. He was already in his 40s, which seemed really, really old to me. I mean, I was 22, but 40s just seemed really old. He had a couple kids. And every Sunday after church, he and his wife had us over, me and some of my guy seminary friends, he had us over for lunch. And we began to bond, and he began to pour in to influence us. When I came to Columbia International University, there was a guy named Ralph Enlow who I asked to pour into me, and then a guy named Steve Bradley and an older gentleman named Jack Lehman, who was sort of like the fixture at Columbia International. I asked these guys to pour into me because I'd never been a professor. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't even spell syllabus. I didn't even know what that was. And these guys taught me how to do certain things that I didn't know how to do. So the way it works today is, pray for an older mentor. So men, pray for a Paul. Ladies, pray for a Paulette. It's best done gender-based, I really believe. Although I think meeting couples is really super too. But what we've done is, over the past, if I've encouraged college students that I teach, you need to be mentoring a high schooler or a middle schooler. And millennials, you need to look for someone younger. And if you're in your 30s and your 40s, or 50s, you need to be looking for someone in their 20s and 30s. And some of you are like, whoa, I can't do that. I've made too many mistakes. I've blown it too much. You know what? In some ways, that makes you a better candidate because you've got the life experience and you've fallen in the ditch. You know what, and you can help the younger people avoid or understand where the ditch is. So the first model is pray for an older person to pour into you. The second one, I call this seek out a peer. This is called peer mentoring. This is someone around your age. And for Paul, he had a guy named Barnabas. Now, if there was not a Barnabas, there would not be a Paul, and I'm going to tell you why. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 26. We got this scripture. So when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, he being Paul. But they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas... I love that phrase, but Barnabas. But Barnabas took Saul and brought him to the apostles. If there was no Barney, there'd be no Paul. Peer mentoring. That's where you find someone your age, someone that's close in your range, someone that's maybe close, not so much just age-wise, but someone who's similar in that age limit or that age range of spirituality. You find someone that you can hang out with, and it can take on so many forms. It could be Bible study. It could be coffee. It could just be doing life together. So girls, you need to seek out a Brittany. Guys, you need to seek out a Barney. Now, I've been meeting with a guy for 22 years. He's a psychologist. We meet every week. I get free therapy. It is so great. Free therapy. And he's never charged me, but we just have great times. And occasionally he'll ask me to kind of be his therapist. But I have so grown from that relationship. I have learned so much about me. I've learned how to listen better. I've learned how to communicate better. Do you have a Barnabas? Do you have a peer? He goes on to say this, set me apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I've called them. So after that, they fasted and they prayed. They placed their hands on them and they sent them off. They became like peas in a pod. They just started hanging out together and they started doing ministry together. They were, you know, the Lone Ranger and Tonto. They were hanging out and doing life together. Have you found a Paul, an older? Have you found a Barnabas? And third, like Pastor Chris talked about last week, have you found a Timothy? Pour into someone younger. Now, let me just say up front, the majority of us will probably not have all three at a particular season of our life. It just would be really hard if you have your own life and you have a job. My prayer today is that everyone would leave wanting or seeking at least one of the three. Now, and I think you start to think about what would be the easiest for you. For me, the easiest is number three, pouring into younger, because I work with millennials every day. They're there. You can't ignore, well, you could ignore them, but they're there. And so I take them, and they're worth taking, trust me, because they're going to be game changers and life changers. Paul found this younger guy named Timothy, Acts 16. So Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but his father was a Greek, and they traveled from town to town. Paul found this younger guy named Timothy and saw great potential in him, and ended up writing a book called 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And he believed in Timothy, and he poured into them. Remember, Paul is doing everything that Jesus did to the 12. And Paul's words to us is a model to us that he's saying to Sand Hills Church, I want you guys to carry on what was carried on from Jesus' day. Find an older, find a peer, and then pour into a younger. So men, find your Timothy. Ladies, find your Teresa. Okay, just checking. Just want to see if you're there. Now, I don't know about you. You need to pray. What am I lacking? Maybe you've already got the peer. Or maybe you're pouring into. You've already got the younger. Maybe you're lacking the older. Why do we need these voices at our table? Let me give you some reasons why we need them. I believe we need these up-close and personal relationships because I believe that we cannot really understand or embrace this lifestyle because I think we need to be held accountable. I want my peer friend to ask me how I'm doing. I mean, really, and push me. I want him to ask me about my relationships and my relationship with God and my relationship with my wife and my kids. I want him to ask me about what ticks me off and what gets me angry and what excites me and what gets me passionate. I need that accountability. And if I play solo and I play isolation American Christianity, nobody's going to know, and I'm going to just do my thing, and I'll just pretend to be good. We need that accountability. Listen to Paul's words to Timothy. Don't let anyone look down on your youth, but in love, conduct, speech, faith, and purity. See, that's why we need that relationship, because that's not fakeable when you're with someone else. People do not naturally walk with Jesus trying to do it by themselves. I've watched hundreds tube out, fall away, slide away, and stop growing because they got isolated. And that worries me. Paul says this in Philippians 3:17, join together in following our example. Just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. You see, mentors are examples of growth and maturity. We need people who are further along than us, don't we? We need people that can push us. And mentors are these examples of growth and maturity. I found that in the Christian life, the ceiling just keeps going up and up and up and up and up. It just keeps going high, 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 high. It's like, well, I need some people who I can watch, who've lived this thing. But it's not only for growth and maturity, it can be structured and organic. Some relationships here that you could develop even starting tomorrow could be, let's do coffee, meet you at Starbucks, meet you at Chick-fil-A, meet you at Freddy's, let's do coffee, let's do ice cream, let's do something. Could start very organic. Doesn't always have to be an intense Bible study. Could be, doesn't have to be. There are so many options about how to share life with someone else. But what you need to know as you leave today, it must be intentional. It's not going to just happen. And my prayer today is for the rookies and the newbies of the Christian faith that you get fired up about this, that you leave today saying, man, I want all three of them. And maybe in seasons you'll have all three. Maybe in seasons you'll only have one. But I'll guarantee you this. You cannot fully embrace, understand, relate, and really get the Christian life if you don't go after these. You'll just be a Sunday morning Christian. And if you're fine with that, fine. But I think God has more for you. Satan would like to do nothing more than for us to walk out of here today and ignore this method and model. I promise you, we will not grow into the example and likeness of Jesus if we don't have at least one of these. You will spiritually die on the vine without them. You were meant to experience the fullness of the Christian life. So my question this morning is this. Do you have other voices at your table? Who is it? Who knows you? Your takeaway and my takeaway is this. Pray for at least one. Pray for a Paul or Paulette. Pray for a Barnabas or Brittany. Or pray for a Timothy or for girls, a Teresa. And I would ask you to do this. Expect God to open doors quickly. I pray that God will convict all of us to not be so individualized in our Christianity that we need to at least buy into the fact that Christianity actually suggests strongly this is a very community, communal relationship. It's not just me and Jesus vertical. It's me and Jesus and some other people at the table. And when I was 20, this became a game changer for me because it was just David and Jesus. And when I read that book by Robert Coleman, Master Plan of Evangelism, he talked about how Jesus spent more time with his 12 than any other thing that he did. More time with individuals, more time doing healings, more time mass teaching. He spent the majority of his time pouring into that group of people, and primarily Peter, James, and John. So our challenge this morning, add some voices to your table. Would you consider the challenge this morning? Let's pray. Father, you have told us from the get-go, it's not good for people to be alone, and that your call for us is to invite other people to the table. So Jesus, we ask today that each one of us really evaluate our relationships and our heart, who's in our life, who needs to be in our life, and that you would give everyone in here courage to be intentional, to make that invite, even this week, for a Coke, for coffee, for ice cream, for someone that they admire, someone they respect, that could pour into them. Or Lord, for someone who's older, who's looking around thinking, who is younger here that I could start to connect with? And Lord, I pray that you would make this happen. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Sandhills Community Church. Feel free to share this with others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information, please visit our website at www.sandhillschurch.org.